All right, good friend of the show. He is Buzz Carrot. He is thirddegree.net. He is the founder and editor of that website. They cover FC Dallas and all the affiliated teams comprehensively. Buzz, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Gwen.
All right, so let's talk. Texas Derby, I want to know what type of a buzz there is between FC Dallas and the Dynamo coming this weekend.
Well, I think among the fan base here, everyone's pretty excited for it. You know, all three Texas teams are obviously better this season. But I think most people in the Dallas fan base look at Austin as a fair weather recent team, and they don't care quite so much about that. But the Dynamo, on the other hand, that's a team with and a club with a lot of fan history between them. And I think, you know, even the players on the field recognize that this one is going to be different, that there's an atmosphere that'll be different. There's an attitude that'll be different. And as this is about as excited as a Dallas fan base gets for an opponent.
What has changed under Nico Estevez, in your opinion?
Well, the biggest thing is sort of an overall focused professional mentality. And not to say that Luchi Gonzalez was not professional, but these new guys have come in under Nico and they've added a level of detail, a level of focus. They've accelerated the pace of the way training works. They've given everybody a deeper understanding about their jobs tactically. They do a deeper scouting. Their team has a very specific game plan, attacking opponent after opponent, and they change how they play and they change how they're going to line up based on the opposition. And it keeps everybody dialed in. And that's permeated the whole team and the whole organization, in fact.
Nico Estevez is 41 years of age. He's the eighth full-time coach at FC Dallas. You know, it was kind of interesting that there was kind of a swap with the U.S. national team, with Nico Estevez coming to FC Dallas and Luchi Gonzalez going to the national team to be on Greg Berhalter's staff. What's your take on that?
Well, the most unusual thing from the point of view of FC Dallas is it's the first time the Hunts have ever hired somebody they didn't already have a relationship with. Every other coach has either been a former assistant or Chelsea Hyman, who Clark Hunt played for. So to see them go outside the organization for new blood is absolutely fascinating. Obviously, a guy in Nico's sense who's been with the national team gives them an advantage in terms of knowing the domestic pool, which is an important part of being a competitive MLS team. And on Lucci's behalf, you know, he was looking to progress his resume. We've said since the beginning that he got hired that he was probably a head coach in MLS about a decade too soon. So he knew, and I talked to him about it, he wanted to take an assistant job with something like the national team or with another MLS team in order to try and broaden his own resume. So it turns out that Berhalter and his guys all like Lucci and his guys. You know, they hired Mikey Veras for one of the youth national teams. So there was already a pre-existing relationship there. And I think that, you know, Berhalter probably saw in Lucci a guy who he can coach up and educate up and make a better coach for the United States going forward. You know, so while you wouldn't put it down as like an absolute like direct swap, it just turned out that both of those guys made sense for both of the people that were doing the hiring.
Yeah, I've heard that Nico Estevez will rejoin the U.S. national team for the World Cup. That's something I've heard on the street. Okay, so yeah. It's another Greg Berhalter, you know, kind of coaching tree here, which we're really, really affected by it in Texas. Every single Texas team has a connection to Greg Berhalter. So that's kind of interesting in itself. All right, let's talk about the way FC Dallas plays now. How different is it under Nico Estevez than it was under Luchi Gonzalez?
Well, they still have the same organizational 4-3-3, excuse me, with a play out of the back build mentality. The biggest change from last season is an effort to stabilize the defense when they went from the third most goals allowed in the Western Conference last year to now the least amount of goals allowed in the Western Conference. And they're playing a little bit more of a less high press and more of a patient mid-block look designed to not overtax FC Dallas, because it does get very hot here, of course, and they're worried about the long toll the season takes. So they're using a little bit of a less energetic defense, but it seems to be working. They have a new goalkeeper who's doing a really nice job. And for the most part, up until very recently, they've really limited the amount of scoring opportunities. I mean, the goalie Martin Paz had only made six saves through the first five games. Now, the last two, there's been a little bit more, so teams are starting to figure them out a little bit. But that's the biggest change in terms of the tactics. The other big change, of course, obviously, is the willingness to spend money to bring in the 19-year-old Argentine Alan Velasco, and even spend money inside the league to get the leadership of Paul Areola, who probably has made the most massive individual impact with his leadership on in the locker room, the ability to speak Spanish and English, his knowledge of the way Estevez wanted to play, and his ability to communicate that to the fan base, to the team in the locker room. So offensively, not a whole lot different. Ricardo Pepi down to Jesus Ferreira is about the same. So really, it's the consistency of the defensive group and their ability to deny opportunities that's the biggest difference from last season.
Okay, Martin Paz, we'll get back to him. Obviously had a very good game. Obviously, it's a different Dallas on the road than it is at home, because the last game that I just watched, it was defend deep, and they almost stole the game late with Franco Jara and O'Brien getting probably their two only chances, good chances of the night. They did sit really, really deep. The goalkeeper, I think you even mentioned it, was outstanding. I think I'm pronouncing his name correctly, right? Martin Paz?
Yeah, Paz.
Paz. Yeah. Dutchman, 23 years of age.
Yep.
Excellent. But on the road, it seems to be a really deep defending team. Back at home, then it goes to kind of that mid-block you're talking about, right?
Yes, there's a big difference there. Matt Hedges apparently told Coach told me that Matt said their first road game this year was the best mentality that he's seen in 3 years in terms of on the road. They absolutely are using a stifle the game, kill off the game sort of vibe on the road, grind it out. In fact, they bring in a Facundo Quiñon in midfield, who's more of a grinding, win the ball back kind of holding mid and less progressive than Evan Cerillo. And they look to get to the 60 or 70th minute, and then you'll see them expand. They play a flat three in front of a full back four with Paxton and Brandon Serrano sitting deep till maybe the 70th minute. Then those guys start to venture forward a little bit. Then you start to see a sub come in and then they go for it. That's completely different than the way they play at home, which is this, you know, as you say, more of a mid block, but they're much more progressive and advanced across the board when they're at home. So they're using a different mentality and a different tactic for road games versus home games. And so far it's been relatively successful on the road, where, you know, as well as I do, that the really good teams on MLS get results on the road and bad teams do not. And now that Dallas has gotten into a grind it out on the road mentality, they're getting ties on the road and not losing games on the road. And that's a progressive step for the club.
So they got one road loss and two draws. But let's be honest, they were pretty fortunate to get out of this game with the draw. This was a day a goalkeeper earned you points. We know that needs to happen. I would just say this about FC Dallas. They got breached a lot in this game, even though they were defending deep.
It's a second straight game. Yeah, the second straight game where the goalkeepers had to bail them out. They also had trouble with Colorado. Now, New York and Colorado, I think, are two pretty good teams. And teams also at this now, what are we now, seven games in, I think, teams are starting to figure Dallas out a little bit. So they'll need to make some adjustments. Obviously, it's a work in progress. They're not a top-tier team in the league yet, but they're doing better with that grind than they have before on the road. And at home, they're doing really well. They've only had the one game where they have not been good defensively at home.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm still in a place where I'm a little measured with making judgments about teams seven games in. I think the early part of MLS is very deceptive. There's a lot of reasons why I think like that, because of what I've seen over the years through my lens. And also, you know, as you mentioned, the weather changes, injuries, some guys come good, some don't. Some guys look like they're coming good early in the year. Maybe they don't. But I don't think there is, without doubt, there is three better Texas teams from a defending standpoint, having watched all of them, Austin FC, FC Dallas, and of course, the Dynamo, who have upgraded their game as well. All right, let's talk about this under-22 initiative player. I mean, that one goal he scored a couple of weeks ago was pretty unbelievable. Alan Velasco, a young DP from Argentina, I believe.
Yeah, from Argentina. He's 19 years old. He's a very dynamic player, lots of charisma. You know, people, even in the fan base, in the stands, people are reacting to him already. Obviously, there's a hype factor based on the amount of money that they paid for him. He's the kind of winger who likes to drop back in midfield and pick up the ball and then, you know, cut at an angle towards that gap, you know, right between the center back and the outside back, or even cut inside underneath if he gets the opportunity. You know, wants to run with the ball at his feet, also capable of playing nice combinations. The ball really does stick to his feet. He can turn and move away from pressure really well. Obviously, at 19 years old, there's still a lot to learn about the bigger picture of the game, but He's a dynamic player and he attracts attention. So like when you have Paul Ariel on the right, Jesus Ferrer in the middle and Alan Velasco on the left, none of those guys can be the focus of the defense. And from time to time, the center backs are going to have to make moves to accommodate Velasco's angled runs or Ariel's angled runs. And that in turn makes space for Jesus Ferrer, who's playing as this, a lot of people refer to it as a false nine. The coach here likes to call it a build nine, which is that he's involved in the build-up play, checking back and then exploiting space and such. A very typical kind of system, exactly what he does for the United States. Yeah.
Buzz, you're killing me. You're killing me. Yeah. What did you just say? What did you just say? Please don't. What did you just say?
Which part do you not like? The false nine part or the
No. There was another terminology of a player that you just dropped on me.
Build nine?
Yes. Nine. Isn't that the same thing as a false nine or a withdrawn forward or second forward? I mean,
yeah, I would think so too. Is this that's what I
stop. Seriously.
Yeah. Okay. It's the same thing. And
wait a minute. Who's the best player on FC Dallas when it comes to being a ground to air blocker or a filter man playmaker or an infiltrator creator? Or a shooter creator. I mean,
yeah, it's Jesus.
For the love of God, somebody stop trying to complicate what is a very beautiful, simple game. And now you know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to be using this terminology. And you know what? A lot of people are going to be going, what does that mean?
It basically means that he's
people further, right?
Yeah, it's the same thing, same term.
It's crazy. All right, we're talking to Buzz Carrick, thirddegree.net. That's where you go. You get a lot of great Dallas stuff. He also does a good job of a great job. You and you must have staff. I would think if you're doing this by yourself, sir, you are a yeoman. They cover the, FC Dallas, second team as well.
North Texas. Okay. Yeah.
North Texas. I'm sorry. I forgot about that. Well, so this is, Texas Derby this weekend. Both teams come in at 3-1-3. Dynamo were 1-1 away on the road coming into this one. I want to go back to some of the things that you were mentioning, though, and I appreciate you mentioning the spend on Velasco, going outside of the box to get a new coach in Nico Estevez, right? Not hiring somebody from within like before.
Right.
These are really dramatic changes for people that have very much studied the way FC Dallas has been run. What prompted that? Was that a backlash from the fans? What really has prompted that? Because for many years, I think a lot of people around the country think, FC Dallas, they don't want to win the MLS Cup. They're going to ride the, you know, we're great developers of young players, and we're now attracting players from other markets. We get them for a year or two. Everybody believes they're strictly our guys. And I'm not taking anything away from the player development that's occurred there, because that's a fact. But you know, what do you think prompted this quite dramatic change, to be honest?
Yeah, honestly, the change has occurred through the entire organization. They hired a vice president of marketing for the first time in a few years. They've done massive upgrades to the budget. We're now seeing advertising around town in various medias. There's been an attendance bump over the last couple of games. They've started doing new ticket promotions. They've started doing new sponsorship out in the community. It's across the board. This organization has changed its direction and moved back to what to me is a positive manner. Now, I don't know 100% for sure what it is, but I think they've seen over the last few years that the academy alone is not enough. There was the league continues to progress and they were sliding towards the bottom end of it. So there was a recognition that that alone is not enough. And I honestly think that you have to look at the success that Austin has had in the stands in Texas to make them think maybe you can do that in Texas and think that maybe if they do some things differently, they might be able to get some crowds like that. So it's a confluence of those two things, the continued slide towards the bottom and the success other people are having, I think woke them up, because they absolutely have changed the way they spend money and absolutely have changed the way they act inside the league and outside the league in terms of adding players. It's very refreshing for those of us that have covered Dallas for a long time, which has only been about the homegrowns are these diamond in the rough, obscure, like Michael Barrios kind of signings. So it's a different world here in Dallas now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But we're talking to Buzz Carrick. I would agree 100%, although I think I think the symbol of Atlanta, Portland, Seattle was all there. I guess it's because it's closer to home. Maybe there's a little bit of a shaming factor here in a healthy way, right? That everybody's talking in year two about Austin FC, a lot of it driven by what they've done off the field. Now their on-field product is significantly better. And, you know, whatever it takes, I guess. But I think you could have looked around the league prior to that and said, look, why can't we be like Atlanta? Why can't we be like Seattle? Why can't we be like Portland? Why is Seattle and Portland the only team that's got soccer history? I mean, FC Dallas has got, and the city of Dallas has tremendous soccer history dating back to the Dallas Tornado and all those guys who absolutely tilled the soil and grew the game up there. You know, the Gordon Jagos, the Mike Renshaws, the Bobby Moffitts. I mean, on and on we go. So, well, whatever it takes, at least it's happening now. And yes, it does seem more interesting and more exciting, which leads me to Frank O'Hara and some of the DPs. And I guess Alan Velasco is an under 22 initiative guy. Who are some of the other players to keep an eye on for this team this year?
Well, right now, the guy that's making the most moves is Jesus Ferreira, who is, you know, put himself in a position to, you know, if the World Cup started today, quote unquote, that he might be the guy at that position, playing in the same system, playing for a coach using the exact same philosophy and the exact same role. And with when he has guys on the outside that are attracting attention, he's making a lot of hay with that space, and he's on fire. He's one goal from equaling his dad's career record in Dallas, and so that's a motivator for him too.
Buzz, is he getting chances? Is he getting chances in the home games? Because look, Jesus Ferreira and guys like Alan Velasco, who we just talked about, these guys were resigned to doing a lot of defensive work in the first half. I mean, you didn't even know they were out there from an attacking standpoint. I have to know that those two guys are sacrificing for the team, because that's not the way attacking players think and want to play. But is he getting a lot of chances, you know, in these home games?
No, Dallas is not a high volume chance creator this year, but they are scoring at a relatively good efficient rate. So he's converting what he's getting. It's not by volume. So it's not 1 out of 10, it's 1 out of 3, and he's getting it in. You know, he's a guy that is a better finisher when he's shooting quick and not taking extra touches and not dribbling the ball around. So, you know, the club in general has been more efficient this year. They're not wasting opportunities like they have in the past. They're not just blasting balls through the box with nobody being there. There's a greater connectivity, certainly at home anyway, that's true. The road obviously is still a project, but, you know, there's no playmaker on this team. There's no 10. So like they're having a double eight kind of look, and it's up to Paxton Pomacall and Brandon Chevania to play this modern eight that comes forward into the box underneath to sort of fill that role. And when you include Areola and Velasco on the outside cutting in, there's enough opportunities for Jesus there that he's getting goals, but it is not a high volume. They're not going to get 20 shots. It's going to be 12, you know, and a goal or two. So it's efficiency at this point.
Ferreira's got 5 goals, hit for a hat trick against Portland in a 5-1 win. As Buzz said, he's the son of David Ferreira, who is an exceptional player. He's got 9 caps, 3 goals for the United States, scored against Panama in that 5-1 win that was important. Jesus Ferreira will be one for Dynamo fans to keep an eye on. And then how about, you know, how much does the lineup change, maybe personnel-wise, obviously at home with the tactics changing?
Not a whole lot. Edwin Cirillo will be the 6 probably instead of Facundo Quinone, who's the more of a grindy kind of guy that seems to be getting road starts. There's one player at right back who's questionable, so that spot might change. But other than that, you're not likely to see any change. The Open Cup game yesterday, they rotated the whole team. You know, the starters, only a couple of starters came in at the very end for about 20 minutes. So everybody should be fresh and ready to go. So I think you'll get pretty much the first team as they consider it at home.
What do you think FC Dallas and Nico Estevez see as the biggest threat from the Houston Dynamo?
Well, the guy that loves to kill FC Dallas right now is Fafa Pico. He seems to have a real edge to him when he plays against Dallas. I think he feels perhaps slighted by the way his tenure went here. He's definitely caused that club fits last year and got a lot of people's faces and did a lot of damage. So I would imagine that in particular, Dallas is not notably fast in the back line. Hedges is in his 30s now, and Jose Martinez, if he has his weakness is his pace. So you can get at them with some slashing attacking play, particularly if you can get behind them, and that's a place where I think Fafa can excel. The other side, whether you have Pascher or Barrett over there, I don't know if those guys are quite fast enough, but certainly Fafa is enough to cause a lot of problems.
Indeed he is. Got in behind the Portland Timbers, should have taken a goal after a beautiful transition piece in a 0-0 draw between the Dynamo and Portland. Great stuff, Buzz. Thank you very much. I think to your point, the fact that these teams have a bigger spend now, look more determined to try and improve the competitive side of their clubs also is making this a little bit more of an interesting Texas Derby. Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
You're welcome. It's been a long time since we had two teams in the top half of the table playing each other in the Derby. So it's going
to
be fun.
We're definitely all enjoying it more. He's Buzz Carrick. It's thirddegree.net. Don't forget to get over there if you want to hear everything about FC Dallas. I'm sure Buzz is going to have a preview of this game as well.